What is up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Granny's Peach Tea, episode 153 for those who are counting. Yep, we've still got a lot of X-Men to cover. And
Oh man, boy, we do.
Yes, this week was something as we wrapped up our rewatch of the original X-Men animated series. So we do have, I'm sure we have a lot of thoughts about that based on our little group text offside. But thank you for joining us. If you're joining us on the Facebook live stream, or if you're joining us on YouTube or X or wherever you found your audio only podcast, we always appreciate the support. I'm Ed, and with us, me as always, is Jason. Jason, what's up, man?
Hey, good to be here. Happy Wednesday, everyone. For those of you who work for the Department of Education, this is a Thursday because we're off Friday. So tomorrow's Friday. It's getting a bit murky now, but you get my point. Almost the weekend. But yeah, good to be here. Excited to talk about X-Men 97. Less excited to talk about X-Men, the animated show, but we'll get there. Let's see. What do I got going? I actually forgot to grab a new action figure. I was gonna grab Professor X and Magneto, but I forgot. So there you go. Maybe next time. But yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, it was, you know, for those who are checking us out, we will be talking about X-Men season 5, and we will be talking about X-Men 97 episode 3, which dropped earlier today on Disney Plus. So hopefully if you've had a chance to check that out, you are going ahead and joining us then. But you know, you can stick around until then and then make your decision whether you don't mind spoilers. We're going to spoil the hell out of it. If you do mind spoilers, you come check us out at a later time and hear all the spoiler stuff that's there. Yeah. So
but don't leave yet. We got a whole season of X-Men to cover before then. So don't leave yet, people.
Yes, we sure do. All right, I guess let's go ahead and just jump right into it. Why wait? All right, so for those who've been with us the last month, because it has been 4 weeks, we have been rewatching the original X-Men animated series. That is what led to X-Men 97's existence. So week by week, we've covered full seasons of X-Men the animated series. And this week brings us to the final season of X-Men the animated series, which was season 5. And Rick, just like Morph, hasn't joined us and has decided to come back. So I will drop him in with us as well. What's up, Rick?
Nice to be introduced as the most popular character in the series in 2024.
Yes, absolutely. See, there you go. So why not?
1996, Wolverine was probably more famous than Morph, but I guarantee you in 2024, Morph is definitely more Googled than Wolverine.
So. Yes, and mentioned more on social media. I'm absolutely sure. So,
and for nothing, guys, for nothing. I haven't seen one hint of anything.
No.
Except for shape-shifting.
Yes. What an evil bastard for being a shapeshifter. How dare Morph become a shapeshifter?
Fucking mute.
Whatever. We'll get to X-Men 97 in a minute, because today, again, the third episode dropped today. But first, let's talk about X-Men the Animated Series Season 5, as I mentioned, the last season of this, the shortest season, which was only 10 episodes.
Thankfully.
All right, Jason, we'll kick it off. Your overall thoughts on Season 5?
I'm going to say this. So I was excited to watch this last season because I knew for a fact I didn't watch it, right? I'm pretty sure I left off last season, like when this was first run. So I was excited, and then it aired. Oh no! And then we got a text from you, Ed, about it being a rough start, and I went, "Wait, what? It gets bad?" And then I started it. And I'm like, the animation is cheaper, and the voices are different, and they've arbitrarily changed famous looks. And then I googled it. I was like, "What the hell happened to the last season of X animated series. And apparently there was a ton of budget cuts, and this hurt my heart to hear, but and they had to ship the animation out to a cheaper company in the Philippines. And I was like, oh man, my beloved Philippines is the reason for this shitty animation. But yeah, this was not a good season. I'm glad you're going through it, because I only have memory of three episodes, because I was very bored by this whole thing. I'll remember once you remind me, but I can only tell you about three episodes. One, the one with Warlock, because it has Warlock in it, and that's a weird motherfucker. Two, possibly the worst episode of anything in this run, the Mr. Sinister Origin episode, which was fucking abysmal. And then the last episode, because Charles dies, and actually it was a nice last episode for the cheap, like, dollar store, like, you know, off-brand X-Men this has become. That was a nice goodbye to the season. It was probably my favorite episode of the season.
Yeah, I'll second that. The last episode was fine. It was there was some nice moments, especially when, like, Charles is saying goodbye to everybody. Yeah. Like, that was actually a very sweet moment. And I tried hard to look past the shitty animation and how so angry bad. I was about at that point. But yeah, overall thoughts echoing a lot of things you said. The animation looks like shit. Some of the voice actors were the same, some were not. Specifically, Gambit sounded horrendous.
Oh boy, he was the worst.
Yeah, it was hard to listen to. And it was just flat out boring, like just poorly written, total snooze fest for just about every episode. So yeah, it was bad. And I feel like a lot of fans don't remember this because of how beloved the series is. They were kind of like forgot, maybe a lot of them, like us, just watched the first four and then were going into high school, so they kind of left season five alone and forgot it existed.
And that's fine. I think that's the best way to do it, because had I watched this first run, my memory of this would be very different. But I only got to watch the good stuff, and then I ignored the bad stuff, and I'm only coming to it now. So I know. I think Gen X got it right with the X-Men.
Rick, what were your thoughts? Because this was your first. Apparently, this is all three of our first watch of season five.
Sure. I know, Eddie, I know you like it, but this was my Godfather 3.
I like
what? Like, it was still the Godfather, but, oh, you know, this is not what I'm here for. The lower animation, the weird voices, the strange stories. It was kind of all over the place. I was able to actually really enjoy it, though, because I'm one of the few people that punches a clock. So I actually work like 8 hours in a day that's actually timed. So my breaks are long enough to sit down and watch an episode. So I'd take a break, watch an episode, work, work, work. Take a break, watch an episode, work, work, work. Take a break, watch an episode. So I actually enjoyed it because it was a fun little break in between. But these were bad. Like,
Rick, classic Rick, who's going to be like, hey, I'm going to actually try to prop this thing up and smooth things over for a while. But in the end, I'm going to actually agree with you guys that this was fucking garbage. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I enjoyed it because it was X-Men, and it was like more new X-Men. You know, it's all new to me. So it's more new X-Men. Man, but it was bad. It was poorly made.
Yeah, it just
that's what I got.
Yeah, it was just it was shit, and you can see that the people who produced it didn't care. So why the fuck would I care? And if it not for X-Men 97, I wouldn't have cared. Like, I just would have. Yeah. I could have just. You can honestly just watch, and I mentioned this in our group text. I think you can just watch the finale and ignore the other 9 episodes because there are only 10 episodes.
They right? don't so even matter towards the finale.
No, like they don't. You can literally, no. Because Rick, you know how much I hate reading the cliff notes for something, I'm like, hey, I like to just watch it and experience it, and that's it. With this, you literally can skip the 9 episodes and just watch the finale. You got whatever you need for X-Men 97, because highly doubt a lot of this is getting referenced in the sense you would have need to watch that. And there's an example in today's episode of X-Men 97 that I'll get to when we talk about it, because Morph does us a favor and does other people a favor regarding something. So I will say that. Okay, so yes, it was a total.
Before we move on from that, I would highly suggest that people YouTube the series, the fifth season. There's a lot of little podcaster made documentaries that explain the insanity that led to them even producing a season. Because it was the whole as you guys. A bunch of times, this series has been hit with insane delays and production issues,
and just to crank out 10 episodes, the shortest season of the 5 by a considerable amount, because I said season 1 and 2 were both 13 episodes, season 3 was 19, season 4 was 21 episodes, and you went less than half for the final season. All right. Well, as we usually did, we'll cover it in arcs, and I'll just give you a brief, my own synopsis of notes here, and then please chime in on anything that may have left out here. So episode 1 and 2 is the arc with Morlock in it. With Warlock in it. My biggest takeaway is that Charles still works out. Charles Xavier works out his upper body, and I was impressed, and he actually looks jacked, because one of the problems in this is that the detail in the animation basically doesn't exist. It's just blobs. A living techno virus called the Phantax captures the team outside of Beast, and he teams up with Warlock, who is another member of the Phantax on this planet. He teams up with Warlock, Sinister, Forge, and Magneto to stop. Basically, they're trying to assimilate all the living beings on Earth, but they can't assimilate the mutants because of the X gene, apparently. Which also seems like a very back and forth thing that they seem to struggle with, because sometimes it seems like they are assimilating, sometimes they aren't. They keep stating they aren't. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Even they don't know. The writers didn't know.
And Charles's ex, who helped him and went after he had his accident facing Magneto, apparently works on Muir Island with Moira MacTaggert now, because there is a scene where they go ahead and take that, and that never gets referenced again whatsoever. And that's kind of it. They just run around, and the team is captured in these bubbles, and it's just... Am I leaving any details out? Because I feel like that's it.
No. I think the most interesting... So when I watched this, I was like, okay, this is different, but I'll give it a shot. It didn't lose me until I think probably the third episode, but it's fine. I think the most interesting part about it is Mr. Sinister making that emergency phone call, Professor X, we gotta help each other, we gotta unite. I'm always a sucker for when bad guys and good guys get together, right? Yeah. Like we talked about that on the He-Man Christmas episode when Skeletor had to help He-Man and She-Ra save Christmas. And this was kind of like that. So I was digging that. I always love Magneto and Charles stuff. But that's it for me. Like that and Warlock. But even Warlock looked like shit. And I have a cool Warlock action figure, which I wanted to bring on. And I've actually seen really cool like sketches of him. He's a cool-looking character. He looks like a low budget 90s cartoon for children. And I know that this is what it's become, but it wasn't what it was. And that's the disappointment.
Yeah, it's, and I'm actually trying to, I got something here for that. I can probably pull up an image of what we're referring to, because it almost has to be seen to be believed. This is, man, whatever, who cares? The image is not great, but neither is the actual image anyway. So who the hell actually
cares? That's a good point.
give me one second here and I will bring it into the stream. Yes, there you go. That's Warlock, ladies and gentlemen.
It's so bad.
It's that super looks lame.
So bad.
Yeah, it's crap. And again, if this is the effort you're going to put into this, then why the hell should I care?
Yeah. And again, that's a cool looking character in the comic. It's a cool design. His proportions sometimes defies physics because he's like that type of alien. This looks like something that I watched in junior high school in the morning while getting ready for school and trying to figure out ways to ditch out because I hated school. Ironically, I'm a teacher now. and you know, I'm watching this going, what the fuck is this baby shit? That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's rough. My biggest takeaway was Charles works out still. And he's still like doing exercises to like stay toned in his upper body. So that was interesting.
That tracks because Charles Xavier, as we know, is Patrick Stewart. And Patrick Stewart in the 90s late 90s when he did those Star Trek movies was fucking cut from the top up. Like he was really jacked in one of those movies. So it tracks.
All right. So we'll give it credit on that then. And there you go. All right. So episodes 3 and 4, Storm is courted by Archon, who is a leader of another planet. And he basically needs to cure his atmosphere, so he tries to get Storm to do it, because apparently he somehow knows that Storm has this ability on Earth. Then he asks her to marry him, but she eventually learns he has taken his people are his slaves and is ruling as a dictator. Cyclops, Logan, and Beast and Jubilee journey over to this other planet, and they help to... they help Storm see his true nature, and that's basically it. And Jubilee seems like she's kind of on board with it for a little while, but then eventually jumps off board and joins the rest of Cyclops, Logan, and Beast as they see through this bullshit immediately. I don't think there's a lot of hand waving in terms of how the hell this Archon knows anything about Storm. We don't really get an explanation. So
I think the biggest hand wave is who gives a shit about Archon. Like
nobody.
Exactly. That's the hand wave the writers were doing. Like we literally just got 4 seasons of like long arcs. Like we were watching X-Men comics and the likes of Magneto and Sinister and Sauron and Apocalypse, like all the fucking heavy hitters. And when we got small hitters, it was still really well done. Then we get this Archon. Who the fuck is this guy? And like doing Storm's character so dirty to not realize right away what this guy's about. Storm's much smarter than that. And there's a scene where she's arguing, I think, with maybe Jubilee, like, no, he's a good person. I love him. And it's like, this is not Storm. Storm is stronger than that.
She like instantly falls in love with him. He's like, I love you. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I love you too, then.
Makes no sense.
It's as lame as we're describing it. So, episode 5. Can't believe we're already midway through this shit fest. Apocalypse is trapped on the astral plane, and basically has Fabian Cortez, our old buddy that we met in season 3. Was it?
No. Oh yeah, right. Yeah. We did meet.
Remember,
this guy.
He was with Asteroid M. Because at the end of that episode, Apocalypse actually is the one who finds him. So we don't hear anything about him until now, until the middle of season 5. So he basically has Fabian Cortez searching around for a new vessel for him. And the belief is that it's supposed to be Jubilee, so he can be reborn into it. Cortez also has some Morlocks as his hounds that were kind of like his crew for a little while. They don't really explain how that actually happened. But then they try to get Jubilee to be in a vessel as the vessel. But and because they Jubilee and Beast were an archaeological adventure, and they happened to run into when this whole thing was going down in the forest. And then once the plan is stopped, Apocalypse is just like, oh, Fabian, you're going to be my vessel. Why didn't you just do that to start with? What was the entire point of this episode? Why did you need Jubilee?
To fill 22 minutes and get an X-Men or two in there.
Bang. Correct, sir.
And are we on Jubilee's stupid new haircut now? Like her new look?
Oh, yeah. She has this like mullet type thing going on.
No, it's like a bob. She's got like a bob thing.
Is it?
Which I usually like. I find bobs quite attractive on women because I'm a lover of the 1920s. But like, this is not how the character looks. Why are you changing character looks? This isn't Jubilee.
It's so weird. But we're not done. We're not done yet, though, because in episode 6, Jubilee takes a class of kids to a cave for some class trip thing.
Oh God!
They get stuck down there. She starts telling them a fairy tale to soothe them from the impending doom that it appears that they're facing. And it's a wish fulfillment tale where Jubilee is the hero and Logan is some sort of a like warlock and Gambit, yeah, an orc, and oh, yeah, orc ogre type thing. And Gambit's just an idiot.
I didn't understand why that existed, that episode existed. And actually, I made a statement about my least favorite episode. I think the worst episode in the
this top, is the winner but, for me.
Oh, man, I forgot about this one. This one was so bad, I blocked it out. This was shitty. It's definitely tied for the worst if it doesn't beat out the Mr. Sinister one for me. This is really bad. And it's complete with, like, at the end, like, oh, I know you. You're Wolverine the Ogre. And they're like, he's like, Ogre, what do you mean? It's like, what the fuck, man? They literally made this for babies.
Yeah. This whole season almost felt like it was for babies, essentially. Not even actual children. Episode 7, which could have had a cool, has a cool idea to it, but just is the lamest way you can do it. Logan teams up with Captain America in France, and during World War II, they rescue a double agent who was a scientist who ends up helping the Allies win the war, and they battle the Red Skull and some goofy robot.
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
You bring in Captain America finally into this series, and this is the shit that you give him? Yeah.
And you know what? I'm gonna say this. Captain America shouldn't have been brought into this series. He just shouldn't have. This is called the fucking X-Men. You know where the Captain America belongs? The Avengers. You know who doesn't normally fight with Captain America? The X-Men. And the fact that this is a weird World War II period piece makes it even worse. Like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that Logan knew Captain America? They were fucking World War II vets together? I'm sorry. I hand wave a lot being a comic book fan. You want to tell me this guy has a healing factor and adamantium skin? Sure, I'm on board. I believe you. You want to tell me this guy just happens to know Captain America? Get out of tech. No fucking way.
Well, I will say, in the slightest defense of this, they are put together by some sort of team, and Captain America is this like secret backup. It's still dumb. It's still dumb as shit. Don't get me wrong.
It's still like very coincidental. It's like almost like the people who put this together were writers of comic books who knew lore and went, "Hey, this is interesting. Let's do this." Because it's so like, this wouldn't happen. Even in a world where superheroes existed, this is too coincidental.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Rick, you're back.
You called me Morph and fucking...
And now you froze again.
Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
You keep freezing.
Like freezing, yeah.
Mr. Sinister's fucking your shit up, Morph.
It's true.
That's exactly what's happening here.
So episode 8, The team goes to help out Sam Guthrie, who is Cannonball, when the government is discovered to be conducting experiments on mutants in local mines, and Gambit gets captured for some bizarre reason. That's literally the episode. Am I doing this as like an exaggeration for humor?
No, I actually was going to say that I remember watching an episode with Cannonball. I don't remember what it was about. And now I know why.
It's like, hey, this guy is a mutant. The whole town hates him because he's a mutant. Gambit shows up, gets captured. Oh, okay. That's it. They escape. Obviously.
That's all you got.
Pretty fucking lame. I mean, Jesus. And episode 9. Now this is.
Oh God. Yeah, I know where we are now.
Nathaniel Essex is working on treatments to cure his wife, cutting up pieces of like mutants and stuff, and ends up turning himself into something sinister, Jason.
Actually the line in this. Yes. Nathaniel Essex is dead. Call me Mr. Sinister. It's so bad.
You want to know what's worse, Jason? And it might not. Maybe it's equal. James Xavier is the local professor trying to stop him.
That actually does make it worse. I did plot that. Because, again, it's like... What? This is a fringe too far for me. It's too coincidental that Charles Xavier's great-great-grandfather from England?
Yeah.
Was Sinister's biggest nemesis? What?
This is a tough one. And the town they are in end up running him out of town. They run Essex out of town.
That's why said this is like one of the worst episodes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, it's fine. They end up running him out of town and he flees to the US, which obviously we catch up with him years later. This is the lame ass excuse we get for a Mr. Sinister origin episode. And by the way, which leads to virtually nothing because it's not like Mr. Sinister is in the finale either. Like he's obviously Yeah, he's in X-Men 97. But we don't need this episode. Like, it's just completely moronic.
It's useless. That's the thing. It's useless. Like, we don't need this episode. It gives us nothing. It's not done well. It could be done well, right? Like, they kind of hint in the beginning of this episode, and it goes nowhere, that Sinister might be Jack the Ripper.
Yes. Yes.
So they set that up, and I was intrigued by that. And I'm a sucker for Victorian England. I was an English major in college. I took a whole bunch of Victorian lit courses. A couple of years ago, taught to my ISS kids Dracula and the Invisible Man. I love Victorian literature, right? So this, you set me up in the Victorian times. You've got me. You set me up with like, hey, someone might be Jack the Ripper. I'm a sucker for that too. And still, I thought this was shit.
Yeah, it's just total, complete and utter nonsense. That's trying somewhat hard to do something, but just doesn't execute it well whatsoever. No. We're going to try Rick one more time here, who is having some connectivity issues. Rick, would you leave Mr. Sinister alone already?
Maybe I'm duplicate. I'm duplicate, and he keeps killing me. And this is just different fucking versions reappearing. Or I'm a clone. Who knows?
You never know these days. I mean, it could be any one of the above.
Ask Beast. Beast could figure that shit out.
Super fast.
Like it looks like that.
So, that takes us to the series finale. Okay? Because remember, X-Men 97 is a continuation, but technically is a separate series. So... the thing that was referenced in the beginning of X-Men 97, Garrick hits Charles with a weapon, so he doesn't actually like shoot him, which slowly starts killing him throughout the episode. Logan, Scott, and Jean recruit Magneto to supercharge his mind and contact Lalandra. She arrives to take him to the Shi'ar for further treatment because it is stated by Beast and everyone that there is no way that they're able to cure him at this current time. There's no medical thing that they can do to save Charles as he's slowly dying. He does have a heartfelt goodbye to the team, which is the highlight of this entire fucking season. Agreed. And he does state, though, before Charles is taken away, he does state that his spirit and his mind will, like, he'll always be with them, but perhaps in his body, not so much. Like, that may never return. And then we get that shot at the end where they're kind of seeing, you know, Charles being taken away, and that's what they used in the X-Men 97 trailer. So there's that. So, sorry.
Isn't that eerily similar to what we just saw this week in episode 3? Sending somebody that you love off for, well, like,
oh,
you
gotta, yeah,
you know, like,
yep.
It's, yeah, very much something that we saw recently, and it very much was in the same vein for me.
Well, I think I'm going to hold off on that until we get to X-Men 97. But, yeah, so I think that in conclusion to the X-Men animated series, because that's it. The, as mentioned, season 5 is a complete turd burger that you can just watch the finale if you feel the need to, or just have it end with season 4 and just jump, yeah, right to X-Men 97. Because any of the shit that's brought up in this season, I highly doubt will ever be referenced again. And again, I think they'll give you enough to just to give you enough to know that you don't have to actually watch this. So,
have you guys covered the like 1988 one, the Pride of the X-Men?
No, we did not, because
with Australian Wolverine.
Yeah, no, jeez, no, not, well, at all.
They gave him an Australian voice because Crocodile Dundee was famous at the time.
Isn't Hugh Jackman Australian?
Yes,
I think he is. Yeah,
he is Australian.
Australian Wolverine, anyway.
But he doesn't speak. But he
goes full circle.
Negates the accent.
Good day, bub. I'm gonna use my Barbie to put my shrimp on it.
I believe Australian Wolverine is also makes an appearance in Spider-Man and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends also, because the X-Men do show up in that
same time frame.
Well, I'm talking early
that's
80s.
Nice. That's awesome.
Like 83, 84. So I guess maybe during the 80s they felt Canadian Wolverine should be Australian.
It's not a, hey, Australians are badasses. If I was going to take any person in tournaments in Australia, it'd be a Canadian.
I can see that. And actually, Wolverine
would night,
make
Mike.
A great Australian.
Because isn't Ryan Australian. Reynolds Australian? I mean, Canadian?
Yes, he's Canadian.
Yes.
Imagine how badass he would be if he was Australian.
That's true.
See?
I think Ryan Reynolds would probably be the first one to tell you he's so far removed from a badass. All right.
I actually didn't realize Ryan Reynolds was Canadian. These yes. Canadians coming in from Canada, taking our industry jobs.
If Will Ferrell's not Canadian. If Michael Myers was Australian, he'd be funnier.
Wow. Not Mike Myers.
Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. But Mike Myers is Canadian. all right. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up X-Men the Animated Series? Because this is it. We have completed our mission.
Yeah, I'm going to say that if anyone wants to rewatch this, watch every episode for the first 3 seasons. Go back to our review of the 4th season for the 2 episodes you should skip there. And then just watch the last 10 minutes of the last episode of this season and you've done everything you need to do.
That's an excellent breakdown.
Thank you.
yeah, that's... Rick, any closing thoughts on X-Men the Animated Series? Because you took this journey with us.
I love the series. And the fifth season is not going to ruin the series for me. And I think the one thing the three of us can agree on is at least it ended on a high note.
Yep.
You know, like, you can't throw the final episode away, but, you know, the baby with the bathwater type thing. However, it's not their best product, but it's still a product. And if you like the X-Men, you'll be able to sit through these episodes.
I'm gonna still stand firm on watch the four seasons, watch the finale of season five, and just don't do it. Because I think if you love the X-Men as we love the X-Men, I don't want to see them being. It's like watching your best friend getting kicked in the nuts 10 times in a row and just not being able to do anything about it.
You know what? I'm still bothered about season four. Was it season four or was it five when Storm was in love with this fucking guy, Conan?
Oh, that was five. That was a shit.
That was five. Yeah, that we went over that.
She wasn't even mind controlled.
No, it was just like, hey, I love you. Okay.
I the whole episode, I thought that he was, what do you call this guy, something king?
Oh, Shadow King.
Yeah, the whole episode, I thought it was the Shadow King. Now, if he were to come back, that muscle guy, in this new series.
No, just pretend it never happened.
He's coming back, and it's going to be the Shadow King.
No, just that's when I allow the hand wave. Just pretend it never happened. That's all. We can all move on. All right.
Never
happened. This season is like RoboCop 3. This is The Godfather 3. This is Rocky 5. This is like whatever the worst sequel you could go to an awesome series, you can attach that to. This is Spider-Man 3. This is Blade Trinity.
Oh, God. And Blade Trinity should have been good. Come on, look at that cast.
Yep.
Look at that cast, dude. Triple H, Ryan Reynolds, like.
So I will end this on a positive note. I think there is an excellent moment in the last episode of this season. One of my favorite things about the X-Men is the Charles Xavier Magneto stuff, right? And I really feel that the writing was well done when Magneto finds out Charles is dying.
Yes, yes.
And he's like, and they ask, like, do you love him? And he's like, how dare you ask me that? He's my best friend, my worst enemy. Like, he's got all these feelings. And there's the moment where he goes, well, you can save him. And he's like, but I'm on the precipice of getting everything I ever wanted. And he chooses to go save Charles and give it up. That's an excellent moment of X-Men lore. So I want to end on something positive because ultimately this run was positive, and I don't want to end on a dour note of shitting on this last garbage season. So that is what I choose to end on.
That's well put, though, Jason. It's true. And don't get me wrong. I don't want to make it sound like I was totally shitting on the entire series because, as I mentioned with those other series that I compared this to, I still love RoboCop. RoboCop's one of my favorite movies of all time. But the sequels are garbage, and the TV series was garbage, and whatever the Canadian straight-to-TV series was garbage, movies were trash too. But
how about RoboCop when he showed up at WCW to help Sting?
Also trash, but let's just... No, but what I'm saying is it still doesn't do it. I mean, I love the first two Godfather films. The third one exists. And, you know, some are defenders of it and stuff, but it is nowhere near. No one can tell me it's on any what, even if you like it, it's not on that level. I love Rocky 1 through 4. I love Rocky Balboa. Balboa might be one of my favorite fucking ones. And I love the Creed series so far. And it doesn't matter, but it still doesn't take away. Rocky 5 sucks. And Stallone hates it. Everyone seems to hate it. And it's
you left off Iron Man 3.
We're going to table that for another time. Iron Man 3 created Granny's Peach Tea, actually.
That's very true, because the first time we ever got together was to record a podcast about Iron Man 3, because I actually love Iron Man 3 outside of the big issue. There is no getting over. I think if you can get over it, there's something there. So yeah, this all exists because I wanted someone to hear me out about why that movie's good.
Yes.
The origin story. 120 episodes in.
Iron Man 3 is a huge
That was the longest lead up of all time. Sorry.
In issue 153, you find out the origin story. That's
great. 1,000 hours into the fucking series, you get the origin of the series.
Dude, if we started saying this was created because of Iron Man 3, no one would have listened. All right, everyone hates that movie.
They're like, wait, you're starting a podcast that was created on Iron Man 3 and named after a random bizarre reference in Batman versus Superman?
No, it's not. Get out of here. It's not named after a bizarre reference. It's named after a jar of piss.
Exactly. What's a bizarre reference? Oh man. All right. So that all of that, having said that, let's move on to X-Men 97 episode 3 that dropped on Disney Plus earlier today. I'm gonna drop the spoiler ticker across the bottom because we are covering it on the day of release. So there are people who have not seen it. So if you have not seen X-Men 97 episode 3 yet, again, you got your choice. Don't mind spoilers, rock with us. If not, rock with us later. Come back and give us a listen then, because now we are going to spoil the shit out of this one. Okay. Now that that's out of the way. This episode picks off with that cliffhanger at the end of episode 2, where another Jean Grey showed up at the door of the X-Mansion and fell into Morph's arms. So it is revealed in the opening scene that Beast basically goes ahead and ran some tests, and that showed that the Jean Grey, who arrived and fainted, of course, at the front door. Yes, because that's what Jean Grey does a lot in the series.
that's what everyone does in the series.
Yes, but I think Jean probably has the lead in the fainting. But that is fair. She is actually the legit Jean Grey, like through test and everything. She's the right age and everything like that. Beast reveals.
Beast gave her 23andMe.
Yeah, and the gene that gave birth in episode 2 is the clone. And the clone gets defensive immediately because she even asks Scott, like, are you with me? And he even hesitates. And he's like, we need to find out. And she makes a comment to him like, well, Storm would have believed me, because if you recall, Storm left at the end of episode 2. Mm-hmm. So the team is definitely on edge about this whole thing. What were your thoughts on this? Because I know Jason and I speculated at the end, because I know Rick, you were with us, but you didn't get a chance to do it. What were your thoughts on this, that we are getting a clone here as opposed to potential time travel or multiverse? Or those are basically the three options I would have went with.
Yeah. So they kind of breezed through 2 calendar years worth of comic books in this one episode. They covered a lot and they mixed a lot, because there was a clone and she did have a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I loved it because I knew it meant Mr. Sinister, because this is what he does.
Yeah.
So when it was like, oh shit, there are two, you know, there are two Jean Greys. One has to be the clone. We know who made the clone. I love it. I love it. And I love that Wolverine was like, I'm about to go find me a redhead. There's been memes all week. All week there's been memes of Wolverine like, two Jean Greys. We each get one. So I love the comment there with that. Man, I loved it. But no, it was excellent. I love the way they handled it. I love that they mixed things up, but it all made sense. And it was very fluid the way they did it. And it brought back Sinister, who I like.
Yes. As long as, yeah, it's not episode 9. Or
I like his origin episode. I don't care. No, I don't care.
No, you didn't. I'm not. Jason, go ahead. What were your thoughts on the reveal of the Jean Grey clone?
I thought it was cool. Again, as Rick said, like I was like, yep, this has Sinister written all over it. What I didn't realize is where it was leading, which is actually something I do know about the comics. And, you know, Scott and Jean's kid and what happens to him. I didn't see it going there. I loved the exploration of, no, I'm evil now. I'm the evil Jean. And then it's like, no, I actually am not. I'm just going to be someone else somewhere else. And I thought that was cool. And I'm with all the memes. Like, I don't know, man. Logan needs to get there's two Jean Greys now. Why can't Logan be with one of them? This isn't like a whole, like, oh, men should dominate women. This is like, she clearly has feelings for both Logan and Scott. It's just she prefers Scott. Well, now she can't have Scott, and Logan doesn't care she's a clone. Like, I don't know. This could be mutually beneficial.
I like where you're going there. And when we get to later on in this episode, I want to revisit exactly what you were discussing. How Logan can't have what he wants.
I got you.
Yeah.
So I do think one of the coolest things, and a lot of the, there's a lot of, I mean, this is a Dynamite episode again, mm-hmm. me, but one of the really fucking cool, creepy things, there's like a lot of horror elements in this episode that revolve. The original one is when Mr. Sinister starts talking to clone Jean from a baby monitor.
That was so cool.
How dope was that?
Dude, I was getting real horror movie vibes, like fucking,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, I'm trying to put a name to it, but I was getting like legit horror movie vibes. And I love that he appeared for like a tick, and then he's like, no, I'm not really here, but I'm here. Like, I loved it. I loved it. That scene in the bedroom, amazing.
When they flash, the lightning flashes or whatever, and they show him there briefly, that's some like Halloween 4 shit. When Michael Myers, mm-hmm. awesome. Like, it was in the opening scene of Halloween 4, where that happened. So that was cool. And basically, he tells her the truth. Like, yeah, you're the clone. I'm your dad. Like, this is it. Like, yep. It's not, there's no suspense in that part of it now. He's just like saying straight out, this is the deal. And you had mentioned, Jason, like, this is right up Sinister's alley, right? Like, he's been mm-hmm. after Scott and Jean and their DNA through the entire four seasons of the X-Men mm-hmm. animated series. He doesn't go after them in season five.
He's too busy.
He's too busy with his random origin episode.
He's living his own life.
He was hatching this, is what he was doing.
Yeah, now, no, you know what it was? He went on an Eat, Pray, Love trip on that fifth season. He needed to really connect with Sinister and mm-hmm. figure out how sinister is Mr. Sinister. And he realized, nah, fucking Sinister. He's got to go back after the kid now.
Yeah. Yep. And Beast then also discovers a genetic signature on Nathan. And it reveals that Sinister is there. He's basically, he describes it as like an artist signing right. their work. And he even says, yes, this is Mr. Sinister's. And the way he reveals it is like kind of pretty cool line where you can see it's like, you can get away with this in this because it was like sinister. It was something sinister.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. Again, it's consistent with the original series. So,
maybe I missed something last episode. Where did Gene pull the name Nathan from? Because I thought it was weird that Nathaniel Essex is basically the grandfather to Nathan Summers. Mm-hmm. Where did she get that name? So she named him after his grandfather, basically.
So I will actually, it's not explained in episode 2, but I will say, well, it's Nathan Charles Summers. So,
right.
Or Nathaniel. So I would basically say is that the clone probably, I mean, Sinister was controlling the clone. So, probably where she got the idea from.
He might have planted it.
Exactly. Kind of like a puppet. Right. So that's where I'm going with it. And obviously Charles was Charles Xavier.
I'll buy that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we also get a thing that I thought was pretty damn funny because you get a scene with Gambit, Morph, and Logan, who are trying to use the Danger Room, and they see who's booking it, and you can see that for like days on end, for hours period, it's Rogue and Magneto, and that's Morph hysterical. Does not miss a shot to take a miss an opportunity to take a shot, and he's like, well, you know, she must be working on her stamina and stuff like that. And Gambit is like totally pissed about this thing, and is trying to brush it off. And so, and even Logan's like, "Come on, give the guy a break, man. He's like doing some shit."
Yeah, yeah.
And for Logan to not be nice, yeah, to Gambit especially, because we saw he loves the Gambit shit. So,
if I gotta hear him get called a swamp rat one more fucking time, I'm canceling this show.
Wow.
Dude, be fucking nice to him. Is he like a bit provocative? Sure, but he's not a bad guy.
No, Gambit's a great dude. Yeah, it seems like when someone wants to insult a dude, they kind of go right there, right for that. So then we start seeing the team going through like these like nightmare scenarios and stuff like that. And there's like a hell, and there's references to like Beast refers to Dante's Inferno, and they think it's Sinister at one point.
Which I do love, because I've actually read Dante's Inferno 4 times in my life.
Nice.
Not once for a class, by the way. I'm just I just read a lot. But I fucking love that they made that reference. I really did. Like, it looks like we are going through Dante's Inferno. And Beast, of course, I'm Beast. If I were an X-Men, I'd be Beast.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can see you dropping in the lines and the quotes and stuff like that for
right, exactly.
And stuff, of course. But the visuals here are wild. Like, again, leaning more into the horror movie element. I mean, they're all seeing their worst shit, and Morph is the one who refers to it that they're in hell. Morph is seeing basically Mr. Sinister. Gambit is seeing some sort of like melted version of Magneto and Rogue together. And they're basically telling them to get lost. And
yeah, which I'm just saying it's symbolism for them getting it on. Because they're melding into each other.
And Jubilee and Roberto are, aka will be Sunspot.
Sunspot.
They're going ahead and watching TV. And it's like a spider ends up crawling out of the TV and going after them and stuff like that. It's some pretty nasty shit that's seen here. And they end up like running through this like whole hell like thing where it's on the place is on fire and they're battling these things. And once again, in his short 3 episodes, we get a dope team up of powers because Cyclops charges up Bishop with his optic blast. Yeah. And then he starts he yells something about an exorcism and starts blasting everything in there. And it, to me, also the first one being when Gambit charged up Logan's claws in a battle with the Sentinels in episode 1.
Can I add to what you're saying with in regard to like the horror elements?
Mm-hmm.
They go to specific genres with it. With Magneto and Rogue, you have like the Cronenberg body horror. You know, I'm forgetting that movie where at the end of it, all of the people are having an orgy, but they're all one big body.
Oh, Jason knows it.
They're having an orgy at the end of the movie, but they're all one big body. No. It's a horror movie. 80s. Not Dead Alive. But
no, it's not Dead Alive.
It's not Dead Alive. It's a body horror movie.
I'm not sure.
I thought Jason had this.
Oh, no, God. I should. I should.
You know this. You know this. When I say the name of it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I should have got it. The movie ends with a guy looking at all the people in his society. They're in a house, and they've all turned into a glob of a person, and they're having an orgy together at the end.
Wow. No, I don't think I have seen this. I'd remember
this. I'm gonna find this before this episode is over. I'm not going to leave people on a cliffhanger. Unless somebody's watching and knows, please put it in the comments. But anyway, it's a Cronenberg body horror when you have Rogue and Magneto. And then when you go to Jubilee and Sunspot, you have the monster feature. And then when you go to Morph, you have the slasher Freddy Krueger
feature. Like, oh, like specifically went into genre tropes for this scene. And I fucking loved it because it meant that the people that wrote it are a fucking nerd like me and watch all these same movies. Yeah.
Damn it. I have a bunch of David Cronenberg subs. I looked up his IMDb, but nothing's jumping out to me.
I'm gonna figure it out. I can't figure it out. I'm on my cell phone right now.
All right. Shit. So
there's a good reason I wouldn't have caught it because I'm creeped out by body horror. Like, not cartoons. This was fine, but like, I kind of avoid David Cronenberg, even though I am a film guy, because like, I'm really made uncomfortable by body horror. So maybe that's why I don't know it.
Well, basically,
High Society or something like that. I'll figure it out. I will update everyone, and Jason will have to watch it and be uncomfortable. Don't worry, it's only like 80 minutes long.
We'll do a special episode.
So Real Gene shows up and basically saves the team and destroys this whole thing and takes the whole thing down. And you know, the team learns that this is the work of Jean Grey, the clone, and not, you know, actually Sinister, because Beast does question that at one point. Then we see clone Jean Grey with another like really eerie scene where she's got Nathan in the room with her. And
oh, I loved it.
She goes ahead and turns herself and announces herself as the Goblin Queen, and she gives herself this whole like suit and everything like that. It's a dope scene. It's a great visual scene up there. And Roberto questions, because someone mentioned Sinister. So this is what I was saying. Morph answers and basically gives Mr. Sinister's origin story in about three sentences. So if you haven't seen season 5 of X-Men, just watch the episode 3 of X-Men 97. You got what you need. Thanks, Morph.
You don't need it. He literally just goes, yeah, he was a crazy doctor in the 1800s, Victorian London, who carved up mutants to make himself more powerful.
Right?
And then basically, Morph looks at the screen and he goes, you don't need to watch the 5th season. Don't worry about it.
He should have just waked him and like...
And then he makes fucking zombie Morph face.
Exactly.
So basically, once it's revealed that it's Sinister and stuff like that, and Goblin Queen bounces, then Magneto basically makes a strategic move again as the leader and says, hey, X, Y, and Z, come with me. We're going to go lead a strike. Logan, Beast, stay behind, and you're going to go, and I believe it's Rogue, stay behind and take care of, Real Gene. So once he launches that battle that's there, we'll get into that. Let's get into the fight at first. So Magneto ends up facing off against Goblin Queen. And there's a really cool aspect to this that I loved, where he's going ahead and doing his Magneto thing and, you know, manipulating metal and everything like that. And she's basically talking shit to him. It's like, well, I can do all my powers go way past metal manipulation. She gets a bunch of glass and starts firing it at him. That's broken from all the like church-like windows that are there, and he's got to put up his shields and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that Jean Grey and the clone, of course, because you know, same thing.
Yeah.
Jean Grey is the most powerful mutant, right? Like outside of Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, Dark Phoenix tried to end the fucking universe.
Yes.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then there's Jean Grey, and then there's Professor X. Like, like she's really high up there. And like you had said before, they always have her fainting on the show. It's like, well, they have to, because if they didn't, she'd just go, I don't like this. It's done. You know? Like, she's too powerful. Much, like, depower
her a little she bit. Would be Ultron with the Infinity Stones.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so basically, and there's also in that same fight where Scott actually is the one who hits her with like an optic blast and she's bleeding. And she turns it around and she's like, don't worry, Scott, you're going to bleed soon too. And that's when they end up cutting away to back to where the other Jean is basically getting her help. And I think, Rick, that's what you wanted to discuss was the moment she has with Logan, where she's trying to like regain her powers and like learn how to use them consistently again, because she's kind of erratic.
Yeah. her interaction with Logan led to her remembering that she loves Scott. So yeah. Let's look at this scene as adults. What could you do with somebody from the other sex that's not your significant other that would make you instantly be like, oh my God, I love my significant other? I think there was a shit ton of subtext in this scene. And I think Wolverine's like, let me go check on one of those redheads before he went there. Like, dude, this is why that guy got fired from fucking Disney, is the fucking subtext of some of these scenes.
I mean,
let's use our fucking master's degrees and our thousands of hours of fucking movies and popular media and everything. Let's fucking call a spade. Like, this scene is fucking very adult in its context. They might have made it, they might have, you know, made it PG-13 for popular consumption. However, if you look at what really happens in this scene, especially when you put into context a point that I want to bring up about Wolverine and his relationships with people, Wolverine's relationship with Jean made him check on her for one reason and one reason only. And then their interaction made her remember that she loves Scott.
Okay, so you're basically saying when Jean was looking into his mind and stuff like that, and he's like, you know, kind of like telling her to continue and stuff like that, that you're feeling like in mentally they were basically essentially having types of relations and stuff, exactly getting it on. that's where we're going with this?
That's where I'm going with it. I'm going to fucking put my fucking associate's degree in film from LaGuardia Community College to work on this one scene.
I don't disagree with you. I disagree with you on the fact that that's why the former one of the head writer got fired, because there's been stories about that have been out of why he got fired. And
oh, I haven't read any of them. Yeah, this is me creating a conspiracy.
No, it wasn't
that he was too good of a writer, and that's why they had to fire him.
No, it had more to do with something revolving around him having an OnlyFans account, which, the details of that still have to come out. I'm not sure what he was doing with this OnlyFans account that he got supposedly fired for, but,
isn't it his business? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, we could. I'm sure it's Disney, though.
Yeah,
but I'm sure the
only Dana White can smack his wife and not get fired. Like, everybody else, like, we will fucking feed everybody else to the machine. Make one wrong move, you know?
But yeah, that does basically kind of like course correct her, but she also does go ahead and basically has a fight. Because she's about to leave, right, to go face off with and join the team and join the battle. And she decides, because Beast is like, you're not going anywhere. And Logan pretty much same thing. Like, physically, you're in no shape. And she's like, well, my mind, though, can do this.
Oh, that's basically a badass scene, yeah.
Yeah, she has a throwdown with Clone Jean, and Airfire will just refer to her as Goblin Queen right now because she does get her real name at the end of the episode. And they basically are going through different memories, and it's just kind of like, hey, do you remember this? Do you have all this shit? Because I remember all of this. Do you remember all of this? And by the end of the episode, it turns out she also does remember all of it. So it does leave into question exactly when did Sinister switch out Jean for Jean at that point. That question's never answered in this episode. I'm sure it will come back.
And it is very specifically raised when both Jeans are talking to each other. And the clone goes, well, I mean, it's your life. I'm going to go start my own. But, I mean, we don't know. We don't know when Sinister got us. Was it me who married Scott? Was it you? Was it me who had the baby? Was it you? Like, they make it clear, like, this could have happened at any time, and we don't know anything. And
This is the change from the comic books. Because in the comic books, the clone was introduced after Dark Phoenix died. Mm-hmm. So here, they're saying It could have, like, the clone could have been Dark Phoenix.
No, and I do. I know they do allude to that. And if we do, like, remember back to that season, remember
it could have been any time.
Yeah, there was a very hand wave that they brought her back. So I do think that it's on the table that that is when the we switched out. But my point being, in this episode, they don't really. They will go back to that, obviously.
They don't dive in on it. Yeah,
they don't dive in on too much. But I think the way that the Goblin Queen is brought down is that she does tell her, like, hey, you know, that you did give birth to, you know, Nathan. Like, you did do that. So, you know, I wasn't here when that happened, obviously. I mean, they don't, again, it still technically could have not happened. But it seems like that's what kind of brings her back down and that she is the mother. So when they come out of that, she, instead of attacking Scott, she stops and helps him up. Is like, let's go save Nathan. And that's when they go after, they team up to go after Mr. Sinister and hits him with like an optic blast that, you know, he's like, what the hell's going on here? And then the team basically, you know, he goes ahead and runs away, essentially. I mean, Sinister kind of like is like, don't worry about it. I'm going to leave you with something. But during this whole thing, he had Nathan in a tube in his whole container and was seeing how he was going to perfect him. And he was continuing his experimenting on him and gets pulled out of it. They pull him out of it during before he can be finished. And it's revealed that he has a technovirus now, which, you know, Cable does. But Beast can't cure him. And he once again also says similar to what the finale of season 5 of X-Men, that we don't have the technology to do this at this time or anything like that, or the medical advancement. So that's when they go to Bishop, and maybe in your time, this can happen because they did cure a technovirus, as we saw in the original series, that that did happen during his time. So it is reasonable, plausible that that is the case. But there is only enough juice in Bishop's armband to take him and the kid. And Cyclops has a moment here where he's like, you know, he doesn't want to abandon his child. Do you guys ever, does any of you guys know what it's feel like to be abandoned? I'm not going to do what my father did and stuff like that. He doesn't want to leave Nathan. You know, he wants to stay with him. But then Jean is kind of like, listen, this is the only way. We have no other choice. We have to send him with Bishop and, you know, they can try to cure him in the future. So I think that was a pretty cool thing. And also right around this time is when Jean is explaining to Nathan about, like telepathically is explaining to him basically what's going to happen and all this stuff about how they're sorry and everything like that, that this has to go. I thought it was pretty powerful stuff.
The animation in this scene fucking ruined it for me. Scott, Cyclops, watch this scene again. Cyclops was in the 5th season of X-Men. He was in the 5th season of the original series during this scene. This episode had the worst animation of the 3 so far. I felt like I was watching an episode of Archer. The first 15 minutes.
Archer.
The first 15 minutes of this episode or an episode of Archer. And then the last 5 minutes where Scott Summers is having this fucking incredibly devastating scene. It's animated by the Philippines.
I watched the episode twice. I can't say that I can agree with this, but
Scott Summers looks terrible during this scene, Eddie. I will put $10. I will pay for your lunch tomorrow. If you can show me side by sides of him earlier in the episode and then him during this scene, like the animation looks terrible. And the first 15 minutes of this episode look like fucking Archer. Like, I hate to like tear up this sentimental scene with like nitpicking at the animation, but am I alone in this? Am I the only person that acknowledged that like they were doing strange animation things in the first 15 minutes? And then in the last, Scott was animated terribly during the scene. He was two tones. He was just blue and black.
I can't say that I'm on board with this. I mean, I could watch it a third time and see how it
goes. I'll bring screenshots next time. Next time I'll bring
screenshots. Yeah, because I didn't clock it, but I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I didn't clock it. So I'm curious. I'm curious enough to see the screenshots.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, maybe when Angie watches it, I'll watch it for a third time. But
all right, there you go. When Angie watches it, watch it for a third time. What did have you ever watched an episode of Archer, Ed? I know, I obviously from Jason's response, he has.
I have, yeah. I was up to it until they went to World War II, and I was like, I'm interested in this. I just watch too many things. Like I fell off just because I watched too many things. I still appreciate the show.
But the animation style was very, very similar here. It was like blurring out things and like this thing's super cartoony and then blur it again. It was strange.
I'll have to rewatch it.
But that, for me, you guys know how much like I let things slide, but then the tiniest technical thing F's me up. That pulled me out of this scene. Every time they showed Scott and I'm like, this looks like I drew it. Like, who okayed this? You guys know I'm an artist. I love my drawings, but like, it looked like I drew it. Like, I don't know. It pulled me out of the scene.
I mean,
it was a great scene, but it pulled me out of it.
Definitely didn't pull me out because both times I watched the episode, I didn't notice this whatsoever. But I'll look for it again. I mean, I hope to find it, but we'll see how it goes. I'll text you guys about it. I thought it was a great scene. I was obviously all in on it. I thought it was pretty cool. And then once they decide to send him off with Bishop, then Jean and Jean have a conversation, and she basically reveals she would like to be referred to as Madeline Pryor moving forward, and she kind of decides to go off and live her own life. So that is not the last time we're going to see her, I'm pretty sure. We'll see her
She's never coming back. She's never coming back.
She's going to marry Caliban and fucking move to Asteroid M.
If this was season 5,
they would get their own episode.
Yeah.
Very good point.
But then the last scene in this, we pick up with Storm at a Texas bar, and she meets up with Forge. And basically, Forge sounds like it's like, you know, I will help you regain your powers and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of what he alludes to. And that's where the episode ends. So
can I jump in on this? Can I like shameless plug here too?
Okay.
So you guys know that I have my project that I worked on of pre-existing comic books, turning them into my own comic book, Confidence Man and Kid Never Die. Like this is what I've been doing, right? So I used pre-existing comic books to make my series. This is a cover for one of them. And during this is in my comic book series, this storyline that we're about to get into.
Wow. Nice.
So Storm had her powers stripped from her, and Forge helped her to regain them.
And that is pretty cool.
X-Men number 166, so like 168. So not only have I recently read this comic book, I enjoyed it so much that I used 3 pages of it in my comic book that I produced. We're going to go into a really good storyline with really good characters here. I love it. I love that they chose this to go into. We're really going to enjoy this portion of the story.
Nice. Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed these first 3 episodes. I'm all in. And then to be honest with you, I think my disappointment with season 5 of the original series actually has made me even more happy and excited that X-Men 97 exists, because I feel like such a great and revered series did not need to go out on that note. Like, the fact that you're picking this up and reviving it and continuing the story, it's awesome stuff, man. And I'd share the article
and still be in line.
What?
And still be in line with what the X-Men are. I mean, the fact that we have Magneto as the leader and Professor X isn't, well, that happened.
Yes.
You know, like yeah. The fact that we have this whole two Jean Greys, the fact that we're seeing the birth of Cable and the technovirus, like all of this stuff is from the comic. And I just, again, like it's picking up a show that ended poorly and going, no, let's remember why we were here, guys. And it's doing such a good job on it.
Yeah, no, they're doing an excellent, again, it seems to be like everyone involved really understood the assignment. And to, I guess, somewhat comment on the adult nature of some of the writing in this show so far, that's fine. Because I compared it to Masters of the Universe, Revolution and Revelation, where part of the audience you're trying to speak to with this has aged since this last aired. And you do, if you want to keep them invested, and that's part of the thing that I really enjoy about this, is that you've kind of, you're speaking to adults with this as well. And the original series wasn't always, you know, kiddie cartoon, sell a toy for 20 minutes. It actually was very much not. There was a lot of undertones in the original series that were more than a Saturday morning kids cartoon. This obviously ups the stakes on that. But I do think, again, you're also trying to bring in those of us who watched it when we're in our 40s now. So you do need to bring a more serious adult tone into this while still not going too far over this line, because you do want to bring in new fans as well. And it seems to be a huge hit, because I shared those articles on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Number one being that the Disney Plus viewership of the original series spiked like 500-something% since the trailer dropped. And is when we were like, hey, let's go do the rewatch as well. So we know what that effect had on us. And also the rumors that now Marvel Animation is considering relaunching other 90s animated titles. And the first one that comes to mind is the Spider-Man one, which these X-Men exist in that universe because they did appear in the Spider-Man series with the theme music and everything and the voices.
They did. And that show needs to be reconciled, because I watched that show as an adult for the first time. I didn't even catch it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I did a big deep dive before I was married, before, like, back when I was like still single, into all these comic book things. I actually watched the Silver Surfer one, Rick.
I love it.
Really,
I give Eddie shit all the time. So good.
It's really good. But that Spider-Man one ends with, your Mary Jane isn't your Mary Jane. She's a clone. Your Mary Jane is somewhere in the multiverse. Madam Web? And then, like, that's it. That's how it ends. So if any other show needs a fucking revitalization to give us a proper ending, it's Spider-Man 90s.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I was also reading some details on this, that apparently part of the agreement with Sony and Marvel Studios is that Marvel Studios can kind of do animated-wise whatever the hell they want with Spider-Man, as long as they keep it under 44 minutes.
Okay.
Yes, it's a very weird quirk, but if you're going to revive it, you want to make it a half an hour like you are with X-Men 97? Boom.
Do it.
Or do it. What they should do is make it 43 minutes. Exactly.
Exactly 43, yes.
Sorry, Rick, you were going to say?
No, I was just thinking about how I just started watching the Spider-Man animated series, and Jason just told me the end.
Oh, shit.
The ending.
I'm so sorry. Rick, I just assumed you watched it. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I'm like 6 episodes into season 1.
Well, I mean, if that one gets revived...
I guess it doesn't have anything to do with the end, but now I know to not expect an ending.
Yeah,
that could help.
Yeah, then I've done you a favor, because I was really bummed when I didn't get an ending.
Oh, I would have been pissed when I don't... Yeah.
Well, I think that could...
So I think I did you a favor by setting your expectations correct.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, I would love to see that. But again, it speaks to the popularity of what X-Men 97 has been. And also the other article that was saying that apparently they had like 4 million views in the first like 5 days that it since it dropped. So apparently they're doing pretty damn good with this thing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it is great to see. All right. So that pretty much wraps it up for us this week.
Thanks for joining us. Wait, before we close it up, before we close shop on this.
Go ahead.
There's something I want to bring up with this episode that's something that's resonated with me since the first episode that I've watched of, well, probably the second episode that I watched of this series. And I'm just going to lob this out there, but I feel like Wolverine is the Rock Hudson of the X-Men. And I said this a long time ago, Eddie, you know that I said this a long time ago when I was like, why is Wolverine crying about Morph dying? Wolverine's 200 fucking years old. He's served in numerous wars. He's lost fucking hundreds of friends. We watched an episode where he was at a grave and an old war buddy sitting give a shit about them. He's like, ah, you guys get out of here. He fucking cried about the death of Morph.
Okay.
Secondly, have you seen Wolverine touch anybody in this series when not fighting them?
He's
always like this on Morph's shoulder. He's always touching Morph. A lot.
I mean, he's kind of had the whole thing with Lady Deathstrike. Right. We've seen a few of his exes.
What does that matter? What does that matter?
I'm going to explain that. I actually do understand where it's coming from, and you're just wrong. What happens is...
Logan, thank you. You took the words out of my mouth. Oh, good.
Logan is in love with Jean Grey. Morph can be anyone they want to be. You do the math. You do the math there. Why does he have affection for Morph? Because Morph at night, in their tender moments, pretends to be Jean Grey. And Logan doesn't have to put another shrimp on the Barbie by himself. You know what I mean?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jason, when Wolverine had Jean Grey to himself, his love for her sent her back to fucking Cyclops' arms.
That's why he needs Morph, because Morph will always come back. Morph's not going to
see. And Morph loves him. When Morph saw the shower, who did Morph see in the shower? Who did Morph walk over to scratch that part that he couldn't reach? In a manner that he knew that I can talk to you like this and you won't be mean to me and you won't threaten to punch me in the face. Because if you were a straight man and another man walks into the steamy shower you are taking and says, hey, Jason, let me get let me scratch that spot that you can't reach. Your response, if you're Wolverine, is not going to be fucking cool. Unless I've done that for you before.
This is where I think you're wrong, Rick, because Wolverine, if he is gay in this, if he is coded as gay, he is definitely coded as one of those guys who's like, hey, no, you know, I let a guy suck my dick, but I ain't gay. That's gay stuff, right? But Morph would know never to approach him unless he was dressed like in Jean Grey's guise. And he didn't. He went up and was like, hey, you want me to scratch that? He wasn't looking like Jean Grey, so that's why I don't know. It's a question.
Yeah, I'm also gonna like throw ice cold water on this whole thing because
how could you with so much fucking proof?
No,
there's so much proof.
It's really.
So I'm with Jason. When Morph and Wolverine are talking, and when Wolverine tells him, be easy on him. When Wolverine's telling him to be nice to him, come on, bro. They're like, let's not be fucking oblivious to the subtext that's been written in. I'm not even complaining about it. Yeah, I'm just saying this is fucking subtext that we're just overlooking.
All right. yeah, I'm gonna just basically smack this down with the things we've actually seen.
Wolverine and Morph in a shower means nothing. If that was Gambit and fucking Cyclops, it would just be a normal interaction.
Rick, you know that wasn't real, right? Like, that was something that the Goblin Queen was doing, right? Like, you know that weren't actually there.
Right, and it was based off of something that he would want. When Gambit saw Rogue and Magneto, was that random, or was that something that Gambit knew he was going to see? He knew he was going to see that.
So let me again. I'm going to smack down the first part here.
Yeah, I don't know why Eddie's saying, like, being so like, oh, no way, Wolverine's not gay.
Well, I gotta be able to,
he can't be gay. He banged the chick one time. We all saw it.
Well, Eddie, we're all from
fucking New York. We know that guy that banged the chick one time, and now he's gay. Like, that's Wolverine. Like, let's not be oblivious.
All right, let me actually, can I speak?
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I can speak.
I drank a whole bottle of cheap wine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can tell. listen, the obvious nature, your first point, I'm like, oh, he cried over Morph, but he had other people die. Number one, the dude's grave that he's at in season 5 is not a friend of his. It's a person he's mad at. That's the double agent scientist. I don't know if you were paying attention.
Yeah, and his daughter told him that he wasn't a double agent and he was actually a hero.
Yes,
and Wolverine didn't give a fuck.
And again, after the fact. So therefore, it doesn't matter. Like, that's something that completely gets thrown out of the conversation. So that's smackdown number one. Number two being, he's always treated Morph as kind of like the little brother. When he sees that he dies, he actually says in the episode, he refers to him as kid constantly and talks about how he just was getting started with the team and that he was kind of like his mentor. That's the relationship they've always had. It was more of like mentor, new guy on the team thing. Like, again, I'm not seeing this. I think this is something that someone's trying to put into the show that isn't actually there. And the whole thing with the joking around Goblin Queen, like, shower thing, yeah, he changes his hand into a claw and is joking about, oh, let me scratch that for you, kid, or something like that. Who cares? It's a joke.
Eddie, if I said that to you in the shower and you were naked,
I would automatically think that
you would fucking kick me in the nuts immediately.
Oh, so because Logan doesn't kick him in the nuts, that makes it automatic.
No, because he spoke to Logan like that and knew he would not get kicked in the nuts. Okay. Means that they have a relationship like that.
No, I think it means that he knows that he's not an asshole.
I think when they bang, he turns into Jean Grey. That's the non-binary thing. Is like, during their interaction as like me talking to you, he's just Morph. Hey, I'm good old Morph. I'm your boy. Like, I'm me. And I think when they bang, he turns into Jean Grey. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, everyone has their own fan.
I don't know if it does it make Wolverine gay if he bangs a shapeshifter while they're in their female form? Or is he banging a chick?
I don't know.
Maybe Wolverine's not gay. And when Morph is a woman, Wolverine's banging a woman.
I could care less if he is or he isn't, but the bottom line is, I just think that I think maybe it was in a YouTube video you saw.
I think there's a genuine relationship between the two of them. Now, yeah, straight, gay, whatever, I don't care what it is, but I think the two of them have a relationship that has been underlying the entire series. And Wolverine and Storm had a relationship in another universe. This is our universe. And in our universe, I think these two characters have a, what did Jada Pinkett call it? When you're fucking not intertwined.
Entanglement.
An entanglement. I think that Wolverine and Morph have an entanglement. I don't care what the weird names that people want to put on it. I think that they have an entanglement. I think it's been going on the whole series.
Okay. I'm going to respectfully disagree and say he's basically treats Morph how I think it's been clearly presented, that he's like his little brother that he's a mentor to. That's it. I think it's very straightforward. And
the rest of the season, I guess, will help explain it.
Yeah. So I guess now, all right, we're really going off the rails here. I guess Tim has something to say.
Hey!
we just finished one show. I saw you guys are on. I said, hey, let me go pop in and say hi real quick.
Yeah, we ran late. I got wine drunk and brought up my Wolverine theories.
Oh, Jesus. I don't even know what that is.
You don't.
So I actually want to answer, Rick, I want to answer your question. If you or Ed walked into my shower and out of nowhere and offered to scratch my back or whatever, I would actually just assume it was Mr. Sinister and I'd kill you.
And you would kick him in the nuts.
No, that's it. It's a Mr. I'd be like, oh no, this can't be Ed or Rick. How the fuck are you gonna key to my apartment? How'd you get past my wife and kid? It's Mr. Sinister. Kick.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that, yeah, I don't know. I'm really not seeing that whole theory. But hey, again, everyone has their own fan fiction that they can apply to any kind of story I guess they want.
As you guys saw earlier, I'm a big fan of fan fiction. So,
yeah, why not?
And honestly, Rick, I don't agree with you that I think that's what they were going, but I absolutely agree with you that there's a case to be made. I don't think you're off base. So I'm gonna say I usually agree with Ed, but I'm gonna say here I don't think that's what they meant. I don't think they meant to code Morph and Wolverine as a gay couple or whatever
or a straight couple. Said. Right. Whatever it is.
I don't think they meant to encode it as an entanglement, but I absolutely see the points you're making, and I think there's an argument to be made there.
What the hell did I walk into?
You jumped on during an X-Men 97 episode 3 thing and did not watch the said show?
No, I watched the show, but what the hell you guys are talking about?
Okay. Well, we can rehash it. I don't think we need to go ahead and rehash
it. We'll rehash it in the group text.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
That's fine. So
I'll just give you a real quick. I love the show, man. It's fantastic. Episode 2 fucking blew me away, and that's all I'll say. So yeah, episode 2 hooked me good. So it's a good show, though. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, you're going to love it. Oh, yeah. One thing, Tim, since you're going to be watching it for the first time. Earlier, I stated the first 15 minutes looks like Archer, the animation.
I just said I watched it. Did you hear me?
Oh, you did? All right. All right. So am I like way off base with that? We're kind of thinking it looked like Archer a little, the way that they were zipping in and out.
I don't really watch Archer, so I wouldn't know.
All right.
It did take me a minute to get used to the animation at first. I was like, this is a little... They're trying to make it look like 97, but it's having a little problem. But I thought it was fine. Like I said, episode 2 was fucking great. I was like, I mean, I'm all in. I wasn't all in it right away, but episode 2, I was like, oh yeah, I'm in now. And today's episode was good too. I really liked it.
Yeah, I actually will say, as far as the animation goes, it's I like it much more than the original series. I think the characters move a lot smoother. They move the detail. The attention to detail seems to be better for me. Again, and not even counting the season 5 fiasco.
I was going to say, when you compare it to season 5, a fucking flip book.
Yeah. I drew stick figures that are probably better than season 5. But, the first 4 seasons, though, as much as the animation was good for its time, I actually enjoy the animation in X-Men 97 better. I think it's just, again, and also technology has advanced since then. So, you know, it's probably just a lot smoother. Let's go on here. But is that it? Can we no false start this time? But can we end the episode, Rick?
Yeah, that's it, man. I think we're all in agreement that this show is the fucking shit.
It is.
It's great.
It absolutely
is. And we are here for this.
Yes. It is my favorite show that I'm watching right now, too. So, all right. So that will wrap it up for us this week. Thanks for joining us. If you're joining us on Facebook, be sure to check out Granny's PhD's Facebook group. Where we share a bunch of cool shit that's on the page that does not make the show. Also, check us out on YouTube and check out Pop Culture Pros and popculturepros.com. because that's who we are presented by. Check us out on X, wherever you found your audio-only podcast as well. Check us out there. We will be back next week covering episode 4 of X-Men 97 and along with episodes, I believe it's 7 and 8 of Invincible. And talk to you then. Peace.
Later.
Later.